Did you guys make it to my website and find all of your assignments and handouts and all that stuff? You just found one assignment? That's all you found? Did you look for more? Did you? Well, I'll show you a trick. The trick is look in the right place. And then it takes less than 15 minutes. I have to show you a... Yeah, well, it moves late at night. Rodents. There are a few tricks you have to learn about going to my website, besides the fact that some of the code, as I told you, is obsolete, and much of the code is applet, because it has to be an applet to run on the internet. But there are some other things that you have to know, particularly for assignment two. And what I'll do is I'll show you quickly some things that you should know about the website. Not very complicated. And then I'm going to go in and do some jargon, syntax, etc., and jump back and forth between doing things and yakking about things. Okay? Just so you know, so you're prepared. If it gets too hot in here, which it sometimes does, open the door. If it gets too noisy out there, close the door. Noise doesn't bother me because I have three sons. So, if you read through these notes, that's what that means. The rest of the notes here I went over last night in terms of, see where it says due 2 weeks, you change that to 2 days. That is, in the summer semester, 1 day equals 1 week. In the other semesters. In the winter semester, it's a little bit less because we have 6 weeks to do 15 weeks of work. Okay, and then this is just a reminder of the grading policy and so on. So you guys all saw that. And then up at the top, there is a very rough outline of what we do. A much better outline of what we do can be found by clicking the assignments button. Oh, look, did you find that place? Yeah, the other place that I don't know about. But you'll have to show me where it is. Is this the place you went? No. Okay. Heads up. Don't go to that place. There is a, if you go to the college website, there is a place for online courses, and then there's a thing, MyWebCT, and so on. And if you get into that, it's all empty. And the reason for that is because I don't use WebCT, which is one of the tools that the college supports for doing online classes. And the reason I don't use it is because I don't want you guys to have to learn something that you're never going to use again, right? You have enough things to learn without learning that. So if you go into there, yes, I agree, that is a dark hole. And I don't know why they still have my course number up there. I'll have to go ask Simon to please have it go to here. So if you go to here, you see here are the assignments and here are the handouts. So for each of the assignments, blah, 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 you download it, and they're in Microsoft Word format. If you like, I can save them in text format. I was supposed to do that last semester, I think, and I just lazed out. What can I tell you? Okay, and this is what we were talking about last night. For any of you who weren't here last night or who couldn't be here for the whole lecture, this is what we talked about. Yes? If you go to assignment one, and then here is a button called the source, okay, and you get this what is nicely called gobbledygook. If you go up here and you say view page source, it comes out in nice Java format. This one?
No. That's
the same. Gobbledygook. This one. That is actually HTML-ish type nonsense. What it is that the document was written on one computer, moved to another computer, linked with a HTML link, and it comes out looking like that. But view page source fixes it up nicely. You just have to be aware of that, because when we go on to assignment two, you're going to be picking up some code. Okay? You're going to be getting some code that allows you to type a number in at the keyboard. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to show you what you're going to be facing when you do that. This is actually a sign. See, these are the printouts of some different values. It's just what you guys did last night, those of you who did it. And those of you who didn't do it, it's what you will be doing, or something like it. Okay, assignment two. I'm just going to go over this and tell you guys what it is, and what it means, what it's saying. and then I'll go over how to, what the steps are that you have to go through to do it. Okay? And then I'll explain why. And then we'll go back to jargon heaven and theoretical stuff. Okay, assignment two, fairly straightforward. You enter a number from the keyboard using a method in a class that I give you. There is a way to actually read the keyboard in Java. There are actually many, many, many ways to read the keyboard in Java. And some of them are very clunky, and some of them are less clunky. But all of them take some kind of specialized knowledge on your part. Now you might say, that's dumb, because the other languages that I use, BASIC, Fortran, Pascal, you name it, COBOL, they all have a straightforward way of reading data from the keyboard. Well, it's actually not straightforward. Some poor soul had to go out and write what is actually an enormous function to read something from the keyboard. So what I did for you is I wrote a Java version of that, which is a little function. Now, when you guys look at the class, because remember, if I write a function, every function has to be inside a class. So I actually had to write a new class, and then in that class, I put a function, which is also known as a method. In object-oriented talk, we say method. So I wrote a method that allows you to type something at the keyboard and have it returned as a number. Okay? So I'm going to show you how to incorporate that into your program, and I gave you the code to do that. In the online version here, I have what's called a text field to type in. Don't use this version. Okay, we're going to be doing it using the system console, so it's going to be just like you have a dumb terminal. You're going to print a prompt out that says type in a number, you type in the number, and then you use it. What do you use it for? You use it to make a little box of stars. Because the topic that we're studying tonight, among others, there are actually a couple of topics we'll be studying, but one of the topics is the control loops and the if statement, making decisions and using control loops. It's very familiar stuff. If you know any programming at all, if you don't know any programming at all, it's very easy stuff to learn. Basically, a computer does three things, right? It moves data from one place to another, performs some kind of arithmetic and logic on the data, which converts it into whatever we want our program to convert it to, and it repeats itself. So tonight we will learn about doing the arithmetic logic and the repetition. You already know about moving things from one place to another, because when you say I equals 3, you're actually saying take the value 3 and store it in a place called I, and so on. Okay, so let me just show you what this program should do for you when you run it. If I type in the number 3, it makes a little square of 3 asterisks. Fairly sophisticated stuff, huh? Okay, if I type in the number 5, look at that. If I type in the number 1, if I type in the number 6, it does nothing, because the rule is it has to be a number from 1 to 5. That's where you're going to use your if, or your some kind of decision making. Okay. The loop does the asterisk typing. You can take your choice of loops. You can put in an if or whatever. I'll show you some different ways for making decisions in this language. The idea is we're still learning how to compile a program. That's what we did last night. We're still learning how to organize a program. And an important step we're going to learn tonight is how we take a piece of code from outside and use it. You already did that last night. What piece of code did you use from outside? In the example that we ran last night, that you guys handed in, the system.out, right? This system class isn't a class you wrote. It's a class somebody else wrote. Now you could, that's a real estate student, huh? should have tried to sell them. Your car. Okay, you can tell by the syntax, system dot is just like B dot. It means that system is a class, and we'll learn it's a special kind of variable that we're dealing with here called a class variable, and I'll show you how you can figure that out. That's in a minute. But what you're going to do is you're going to go out and you're going to get some code here. And here's the code you're going to get. A class to get a number from the console. Okay? And you're going to incorporate that code into your program. And because you're putting it into your program, you have to be sensitive to some things. You have to be, oh, that's really ugly. What do I have to do? View page source. Ah, much nicer. See, that's not really a very big class. That's the whole thing, right there. There's the top of it, there's the bottom of it. Okay. The class is called getNumber, and it has one method in it called numberInput. And what you do is you call this method and you pass it an argument of parameter, which is the prompt it's going to print. So basically it gives you a number back, an integer, and you type in something which says, let's say I pass it the string, what's your age, then you can type in the number for your age. If I type in, right, how many stars do you want, you'll type in how many stars you want. So you can, this function can be used over and over for getting an integer from the keyboard. There's so much in it, you couldn't possibly be expected to write it yourself yet, so you'll see within 3 or 4 days, you'll be going, oh, I could probably do that, but certainly you'll be able to change it quickly and easily to do other things or add things to it. But for now, all we want to do is figure out how to include it in our project. So what do I have to do to use this in my project? First of all, I have to start Java. So, JBuilder, well, I have all different JBuilders. Here's the one that you guys are using. What's the first step you do when you start up JBuilder upstairs, or at home, or anywhere? Yeah, if you have a drive, put it in. Don't forget that step. If you're working at home, you're probably working on the C drive, and what you want to make sure you're doing is setting the default properties first. And that's going to be fairly important for me tonight, because my default properties are pointing to the A drive from last night, but I don't have an A drive. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to pretend that I'm working at home. I'm going to remove the A drive. If you're upstairs, you just leave it at A if it's set at A, and if it's not set at A, make sure you set it at A. How many of you guys got into trouble last night because it wasn't pointing to A? Fired. Okay, so what I'll do is I'll add a path. I'm going to add it from the C drive, my document. Okay. And then I'll just copy and paste. Okay, so that's using the My Documents folder. So now instead of going to the A drive, everything I work on is going to go to the My Documents folder. Okay? So that's step one. Step two, I say I want a new project. It's going to be assignment two. See how it starts off My Documents? A2. Oh, I hope I don't have an A2 in there. I probably do, in which case I'll have to throw it away. A2, finish. Okay, yes, all right, overwrite, okay. Overwrite everything, who cares? Okay. Now I have a project. Now, is a project a runnable program? Is there any Java here? No, this has nothing to do with Java. This is JBuilder. Okay. If I wanted to have some Java, I would say, what? New class. I call it A2. two just so it's easy to find. I'll probably get an error here. I don't want one of those yet because I don't know what it is, but tomorrow night I'm going to know what that is, and then I'm going to want one. But right now I don't know what it is. Generate a may function. Oh, it already exists. Ah, well, let's just go. No, let's not go out and nab it. Let me do this. Go away. Just so that you guys know I'm not using any canned routines. Oops. I don't want to throw the whole folder away, right? I just want to throw away everything inside it. What's that? I do? Oh, look, I left out. Send to none of those because I'm going to delete it. Okay. So, see, I live a good life. Well, we'll see what happens. Probably some other bad thing will happen to me at this point. But you notice my HTML thing went away because I mistakenly threw that away, and that'll come back to haunt me. But this is what happens to you guys, right, when you're doing program development. Anything bad that can happen happens right away when you're new at it because these machines are sensitive to your level of expertise. Right? The more vulnerable you are, the worse things are. So I throw this away because I don't need it. I throw all this stuff away because I don't know what it means. And here I'm left with a basic program. And I follow the step that I told you last night, and I can't recommend it strongly enough. When you've got code you think you understand, compile it. It doesn't hurt to compile it. You can compile your program 10,000 times, you won't wear it out. When you make a change and you think you understand what you did, compile it. Why? Right. If you're not right, you find out right away. What happens is we get near the end of the semester, you guys will become desperate. Desperate people seek desperate measures, and you will start doing things like writing 5 classes, 100 lines of code each, and, you know, it will be a total can of worms, and you'll bring it to me, and you'll go, can you find the head of the worm here in this? And I'll say, whoa, I don't know. Compile it as you go. It doesn't hurt. Okay, now what I want to do is I want to go to the internet, and when you're working with Java, I highly recommend that you start up your internet browser and you work back and forth, because there are tutorials on the internet, there's sample code on the internet, there's your assignments on the internet, and all of this stuff can be cut and pasted together and turned into something useful. Okay, now, if I can find, here's the code. Okay, so I copy all this code. Oh, that's right, I'm in. Yeah, so I did Control C to copy it. And now what I want to do is I want to come back and say new class, okay, and what's it going to be called? Get number. I don't care what it generates, because what I'm going to do is throw it almost all away. Okay? Well, all I really wanted was the JBuilder to build this file for me, getNumber.java. Now what I'm going to do is I'm going to erase that, paste the code that I just got, and now, critical step. See that package statement? That's left over from when I did my code development. What's a package? It's a folder. Okay? Well, this isn't in this folder number end. It's in the folder A2 that I just created. So, bingo, I got rid of it. Now you can go ahead and use this new class in your program. All you did here was you just did the equivalent of typing in this but you didn't have to type it in, you just cut and pasted it in. Okay? When you hand in your assignment too, do you have to hand this in with it? No. Why? I wrote it. I know what's in it. Okay? If you change it and make it better, you can hand it in and you can point out in your comments how much better your version is than mine. But otherwise, just skip it. Just give me the part you write. Okay, now I'll go up here and save all. I can click that, or I can come up here and say save all. Some of you will become angry with me over this semester because there are these buttons up here and I don't push them. I go up and I use these menu items, and instead of using shortcuts quite often, I will just slowly go down to the and do it. Is that because I am dim-witted? Possibly. My sons, who sometimes program, tell me that it is definitely because I am dim-witted. However, I think of myself more like a cow, where I browse through the menus. I graze through my code thoughtfully, carefully, slowly. And here's why. When you have a graphical user interface, it's really easy to really screw things up fast. And my pokey ways actually are probably faster than the light speed techniques of many of you with the buttons and things. Maybe not, but I lose surprisingly little. I still lose things, important things, but not like I used to. When I used to be in a hurry all the time, someone asked me last night, how could I survive after 25 years or 30 years of programming? It's because I'm very slow. Okay, so now I have a get number class. I'll compile it. Yay, it worked. See, I just cut and paste it right off my website. I made that one change, the package thing. If I hadn't made that change, you can tell right away there's a problem with this code, right? Why? Well, there's those red things, but just this line I just did here. Yeah, I can't have one file in two folders. I could have an alias to it, maybe, but Java doesn't allow it. So if you forget to take that line out, you get this error. Aren't computer errors stupid? Any of you guys that go on to writing compilers and things, put some effort into having the error mean something. This says class or interface expected. What it really should say is you can't have two packages. That's what it means. Okay? In general, when you get class or interface expected, it means that you have your curly braces out of wonk somewhere, or double quotes or something like that. Something isn't finished properly. But in this particular case, if you put in two package statements, you get that error. Okay. Notice that all of those red things turn black. And the reason it turned black is because I import three different packages. What that means, what those import statement means, is it means go to the path in the Java folder, in the IO subfolder, and look through all of the classes in there and see if you can find the input stream reader, for example, whatever that is. That's a class. Okay? So we're going to learn how to use those imports when we get to assignment 3 and 4, because we're going to import assignment 2. But for right now, I'm just pointing it out. That's what those are. Yes, sir. It doesn't load anything. All that is a path to where to look. And so what it means is it means look through all of the classes in there. But it doesn't load anything. It only uses the ones that I ask it to use. So you don't have to worry about using asterisks. All it slows down is the search. And the machines are so fast now that, I mean, it's looking through 60 things and going, is it one of those? Yeah, okay. So you don't have to worry about that in this language. It's not like in C, you know, where you include things and then everything you include gets loaded in and you get this giant
executable. Not like that. It just gives it a place to look.
What he's talking about here is that I could have just put input stream reader, and then it just looks for that class and that class only in there. But I am a supremely lazy being, so I always just put asterisk. I mean, why type if you don't want to? Have to. Yes, sir. Right. Good question. Last night you used the system class and you didn't have to import anything. There is one group of classes which is imported automatically. That is the java.lang folder, the Java language. And the system, capital S-Y-S-T-E-M, is part of the java.lang and the Java runtime, because those are actually the classes that interface to the operating system. So that's why. So there's a few of them that you can get away with without, for example, the class of classes is objects. Starts with O, capital O. You don't have to import that as part of the language. Yes. No, it is not recursive, and the reason it is not recursive is the following. Java is designed to run in a distributed computing environment, which means that you can have folders all over a network, potentially. Well, you can imagine if the compiler has to look across the entire network hoping to find something you included that you misspelled, for example. Well, you might as well, you know, go make yourself a peanut butter sandwich and watch television, because it won't compile in your lifetime. All right? So what they've done is they've said, you only look in that folder. Don't look in any subdirectories. So if there are subdirectories, you put this dot, that dot, the other thing to get the subdirectories in. But interestingly, you can use these tools in these environments. Like I could say java.io dot by itself, and I actually get a list of all of the classes in the IO folder that are printed out for me. I just picked that one because, as I say, it's easy. So anytime you want to look through a folder, you can actually just type import and then the name of the folder, and it'll give you a list of everything in there. And we're going to use that when we get to assignment 3. What are we going to import? Assignment 2, because assignment 2, assignment 3, assignment 4. Each of your assignments, you're going to import the previous code and reuse it. So your program gets bigger, bigger, bigger. But the amount of code you write actually after assignment 5 gets smaller, 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 potentially. We'll see. It won't get really big in any case. You never have to write too much code. Okay, so we'll just compile it again because I made some changes. Yay, it works. Now I'm going to use it. Yes? They come from the Java download. It's all part of the Java language. There are a group of classes which are called the core classes. That's one group, and the other group is called the swing classes. And when you go out to java.sun.com and you download the Java development environment, that all comes with it. And if you install JBuilder, they will install along with it JDK, the Java Development Kit 1.x, whatever X is these days, 1.4 now. So my machine, I'm using JDK 1.2 and 1.3, depending on which compiler I switch to. So I'm a little bit old-fashioned. It's things to get used to. Okay, now we want to go ahead and use this just to see what it does, because your assignment is to use that to get a number from the keyboard. Okay? So, how do I do that based on what you learned last night? I have to make an instance of it. I'll call it GN because I'm a unimaginative individual who just uses a short abbreviation when I can get away with it. There are places in your code where you're going to want to actually have your variables mean something, like dog space my dog. There's other places where you're using a utility function of some kind where you just use the shortest name you can get away with. So now I have an instance of this or not. What do I have to do to get an instance of it? New get number. Now what this line of code says is it says that all of the functions and all of the variables in this class which are public or have package access. What package access mean, do you suppose? Yeah. Right. It's what's called the default access. What it means is that variables in this class can be used by other classes in the same folder. Remember, a package is just a folder, a directory level. So other Java programs, other .java files in that same folder have access to these variables. If there's no modifier. The modifier is public, protected, private. We'll learn all of those. If there's no modifier, it's called package access. So, S, for example, is of type string, which is a what? String is what data type? Is it a primitive data type? No, it's a class. How do you know? It's got a capital S. That's the first clue. And the second clue is, I told you there are only 8 primitive data types, and I listed them off, and that isn't one of them. So those are 2 clues. So on your midterm, when I say list 4, show me the declarations of variables of 4 different primitive data types, string isn't one of them. That's one of the most often missed questions, is people put string S. Uh-uh. Int, long, short, pair, byte, float, double, boolean, and anything I forgot. And there's a list of them in the handout that you could have looked at a minute ago. Okay. So, you see down here on the left, that's a list of the variables available to us and the method. That's the method there. See, isn't that nice? Those are little tools that you fiddle around with and see if you can make use of them. Okay, moving right along. So, what I want to do is I now want to call a method from this class. First of all, I have to have a value where I'm going to store my input. Let me call it value. And I'll make it an integer. So there, I've declared a variable, that's a primitive data type, int, and you see how it turned dark blue? That means that it's a keyword. These reserved words or keywords can't be used in your program unless they are used in the correct position for that keyword. Like I can't call it, I can't say int int. See? That's a syntax error. Malformed declaration, I guess. But I can say int value. Now, here's an important thing that you want to know. The get number, the number input method, you see there, it has a return value. Last night we wrote 2 methods, and what did we do? We called them void, meaning there was no return value. This function returns something, it returns an int, which means this function can actually be used in place of an integer. I can use the name of the function and all this code will be executed whenever I call it. And way down at the bottom, you see, there's where I actually do the return. If you have a value to return, you have to say return. If there's no value, you don't have to say return. The machine figures it out. Okay, so what I can do, what I just said, what it means is I can say value is assigned to gn dot number input, and now it says it wants a string. So I will say enter an integer. Okay, that's the prompt that's going to be printed on the monitor to remind me what I'm supposed to do. And now I can use that built-in method that we learned last night and print the value out. So see, I've already written a major part of your assignment too for you. Once again, it's like a service I do. But what you're going to complain about tomorrow night is that the service is going to start drying up. That is, you will write more and more yourself and less depend on me. As it should be, right? Okay, so I compile it, because the rule is you put in some code, you compile it to make sure it's okay. Now I can run it. Enter an integer. See, I run the program and there's that prompt that I put in. So I put in the number 5. And print back 5. Program over. Are you thrilled? I hope. Okay. So now we can get a number from the keyboard, and it's pretty easy. And the rest of this tonight, I'm going to show you what we're going to do with that after we... How are we doing for time? It's time for a break, right? It gets really hot in here. You guys will get surly. I'll get surly. Okay, after the break, what I'm going to do is I'm going to go through the for loop, the while loop, how to do an if. You already know how to get a number. I'll go through some of the operators. Talk a little bit about data types and declarations and executable statements and all that stuff, important stuff. All right? So, take a break. Let's get the door open. Get some air in here. Make noise for the next class. No. I had everybody. Oh, you've got one. That's cool. That is a classic. I actually remember when there were Next computers, but I never got a Next 10.
Oh, I have Pi, so for it looks like I have the cube, I have the binder, I have the cup.
One of those?
I don't have anything that enthusiasm.
There you go, and the t-shirt?
No, but I have okay.
Yes, you can. It's right there. Yes, you can if you have one of those pieces of paper like that gentleman had. Yes, you can. Do you have a CD maker at home?
Yeah.
Well, I want you to make a copy of it and bring it back tomorrow. Make 2 copies of it. Do you have a CD maker at home? Make 4 copies. That'll work. I know, it gives you when all this junk that you don't want. You go, please go away, help. What you want to do? Probably does. My guess is it probably works the same. It's mostly written in Java, so it doesn't say what your operating system is.
I think I'd rather use it to
do that. Do you have a CD maker?
Yeah.
Oh! Make a couple of copies for the rest of it.
Yeah,
4, 8. Hi.
Yeah, I'm going to bring you the next one. I'll bring
my shirt. 32.
Yeah.
I can't take a time in the class.
What's your name? That's your last name or your first name? What's your last name?
You're
in the class 4. You're right here. Do we run out of chairs?
Yeah.
Well, you can have my chair. I'm going to go up there now.
What?
You can put it anywhere you want. It's got wheels.
That's right, cool. You got any one of these?
You have a CD maker at home?
Yeah.
Oh, good. Bring back two tomorrow.
I need the Jay Builders, and I got one to
go. Jay Builders
6.
Uh-huh.
And this one is...
Jay Builders 3. Get three bags. Jay Builder 6 has more stuff in it, but it's more complicated, which is why I don't use it for the beginning class.
Look like this.
Okay,
but you will probably figure it out. Jay Builder 3, or 3 never was. For some reason, it's probably because it's a good product. They sold it for a very short period of time, and they never put it on their legacy code. I don't know why. So what we're doing is they're making copies and bringing them back tomorrow. Yep. Good
question.
Well,
because I'm concerned. Should I stop the phone and come back? Or do I not do it properly? Or
did you email it to me?
Yes.
Oh, well, see, there's two people that emailed them to me, and they're sitting on my printer at home.
That's okay.
These ones here are the ones I had last night. It didn't go anywhere. I noticed that you did it. Because you went through all this before, so.
Yes.
Hey. Oh, and this is FDK 1.3. So, Sun has replaced it with what?
4K. You got to get 4K out. It's Sun 1 Studio. Sun 1 Studio 4.
That's what they call it now. They've called it a lot of different things over the years. Well, I'll see if I can get it to work. And I'll give it back.
Just go to the directory and go to the directory and dump that.
Throw everything onto my machine.
Get that part.
But you have to tell us which JDK you're using, right? Don't you have to point it to the Java folder?
Well, it's automatic. I can put it in.
Oh, it's in the same folder, so it knows where it is. It's relative to... I'll see. It's the Forte.
Yeah, Java 1. Yeah, Java 1. Yeah, I installed that at the beginning of the last semester.
Well, I just want to find out, so I'm well informed.
And you do a CD for it.
You do?
But I did.
That's not the one you want.
Oh,
you want Jay Builder, right?
Yes.
Tomorrow night, we're going to have a swarm of Jay Builders come in. Just for me?
Yes.
Well, to sign and give back, right?
Are you
I can't keep it.
I'm not done up in my office.
No, neither. But I know what to do here.
I'm
going to fill you in. Okay, now this is the number they'll ask you for. And I don't know, the stars doesn't care if I signed it or not, but I know you do. Oh, you want the ticket number and stuff too, don't you? I know. Well, my my job, right, in terms of the college, is just to get you past the first drop date. No, you made it to the second drop date. The first drop date is where we get paid by the state. The second one is where you get a grade. See, there's a mystery drop date. I forget what it is. They don't tell you about this.
Okay.
See, you must add by June 21st, so I think Friday is the first drop date. Right. Yeah. Right. Unless you get to the first. Who, us?
Yeah.
That's how the college stays open.
Well, what about the money we give you? What do you do with it?
I'll buy a car.
It's kind of like National Public Radio. You take money from one, you take money from the other.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, we could do what USC does, which is actually charge you what it costs to rent the chair and the room and the heat and all of that. I think UCLA, what's this course at UCLA? It's $700 or $800, isn't it? A couple hundred dollars a unit. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's a state school.
Yeah.
Private school. Exactly. That's what we use your $40
for.
Well, I don't, but I do sort of. What I do is I come in early. My office is straight above here on the third floor, the outside hallway. I was here at 5:30. But I won't always be. Today I was. Yeah, they don't have us do office hours in the summer, but I do anyway. What the heck? Yeah, I'm committed. I'm committable. Yes, it's the only class I'm teaching. And even this, I teach reluctantly. Do what? 101 online in the fall. No, I really don't trust the whole online experience. So. I haven't decided yet. I might let the student. I had a student a couple of years ago had a very creative idea for the online course, and she took the paper back. Well, her paper. So now she's gone on to UCLA. I'm trying to find her so that I can get her paper back, because I can't remember. It was a very creative and unusual approach to it, and I can't quite remember. But again, I'm not smart enough to think it up myself. Yeah. So, here we go. What I'm going to do is I'll talk to you about operators and so on in this language, but I'll do it in relationship to actually getting some code done, so we'll do two things at once. Okay, you just saw what you need to do in assignment two, right? What you're learning in assignment two is how to use an outside class incorporated into your program. It happens to be a class you can use over and over because it gets a number from the keyboard, and we'll modify that down the line and get different kinds of numbers and different input from the keyboard. Eventually, we'll learn how to make a user interface, and we'll be getting our numbers from text fields and so on. But for right now, we're just going to use the dumb terminal idea. So it's about that, and then it's also about how to make decisions and do looping in this language. Well, decisions are easy because there's only one way to make decisions. Ha ha. Did I say one? Okay, that is the syntax for the basic decision in Java.
I left something out.
If parentheses, open curly brace, at least one semicolon, and a closed curly brace. That is a compilable do-nothing if statement, except for a missing piece. Inside the parentheses, you can have any Java expression that results in a data type of Boolean. What are those? Those are the eight primitive data types. One of them is Boolean. Boolean results in a value of literally true or false. It's actually just a bit that gets flipped, but as far as your program, you test for the word true or the word false. Those are reserved words. Okay, this expression in here has to be a Boolean expression. There are some Boolean operators. And these are common to all programming languages. It's just that the actual operators are different from language to language. Some have the word or dot, or dot, and so on. Minus O if you're doing born shell programming. In Java, we have double ampersand for and, double vertical bar for or, exclamation point for not. Not means what? Not whatever. Right? If it isn't, it is, and if it is, it isn't. That's another test. That's another test. Okay, double equal sign. Let me just tell you about this one because this one here causes people grief. Okay, that means logically equal to. What on the left is the same as the right? That means they are equal, it's true, if they're the same. But here's what people do sometimes, because we all went to grade school and learned that that means equal, right? That's what our heads think. Well, you have to retrain your head. This is the assignment operator. So if I do that, one of two things will happen. I will get a compiling error, or I will get a compiling error. A worse situation is if I have two Boolean values. See, this has to be a Boolean up here, and I equals 3 doesn't result in a Boolean, it equals the value 3. But if I and J were both Boolean, then this does result in a Boolean value. It results in whatever J is. This is a very frustrating error to find. I get an email with one of those in it every semester. That is a test to see if they're the same. This gives a Boolean result. If those are the same, it's true. If they're different, it's false. No matter what their data type. Okay, well, there's more of these. You know, there's greater than, equal, less than, equal. Greater than, less than. And so on. You can look them up. They're on the list of the operators. I gave you a list of operators in the handout. That's a short form. For those of you who don't like to read because it puts you to sleep, you can read mine, which is the short version, which leaves most of it out, but you can probably stay awake for it. Okay? These operators result in a Boolean value. You can also have a function that returns a Boolean, right? I can have or return false, or return a condition, or anything else that results in a Boolean, right? Or it could have a Boolean variable set to some, and so on, right? And then I could do this. Right? Because that function returns a Boolean, it results in a Boolean value, bang. It satisfies the condition for an if statement. Any questions on that? This works the same. I mean, you know, if you do it in BASIC, it's if, blah, blah, then. In this language, it's just if, and then there's an open brace and a closed brace. Those are the scope operators, which means I can declare variables and things in here that will be local to that scope if I wanted. If I only have one statement in here, I don't need those. But I put them in anyway, because what happens is later on I may want to add a statement. And if I want to add a statement, then I have to remember to put those in because it blocks all of the statements together, so they go with that if. See, I can have multiple. These semicolons, those are executable statements. So, for example, I could say, if the number I entered at the keyboard is greater than or equal to 1 and less than or equal to 5, draw the stars. Otherwise, ask them for another number. Who's You, because you're going to run the program. So if you type in the number 6, if you come back and say, no, type in a number from 1 to 5. Does this make sense in a vague kind of way? Yes, sir. Goes with the if. This
block, open, close, curve, this block, I mean the elf if, this block goes with the elf. If this is true, you do those. Elf, if that's true, you do that. Otherwise, you do whatever's left over down here. You'll do one or the other of those three steps, but not all of them, just one. Now, you can nest them. That is, I could have an if inside these curly braces, and so on and so on and so on and so on. They're infinitely nestable. Only the strength of your wrist keeps you from testing how many nesting levels you can have of if, else, if, else. But those are syntax experiments that you really want to take and do in your spare time, because you're going to have enough code to write in here. But yeah, do those experiments. I encourage you to do them. But you don't have to do any experiments like that or have any in-depth knowledge of nested ifs to get past assignment two.
Well, one of the really frustrating and really stupid parts of the course that they were teaching at Poly was that they would do the nested if elses, and then they'd have the function, you know, if it works, it does that, and they would replace just the spacing of it with the off. And, you know,
just to fool your eye. Yeah. That's like the Java test. If you take the Java certification, they have those weasel worded kind of questions. Yeah.
So what was the whole purpose of that?
It was to get you to leave, to tear up the paper and leave. Because 4-year universities, the first 2 years of 4-year universities, tell me if I'm wrong, if you've experienced it otherwise, the first 2 years are designed to get rid of as many people as possible, as quickly as possible, because it saves them time, money, and seats. So, that's why we have us. Because my job is to get everybody through the entire course as quickly as possible, with as little nonsense as possible, and save the weasel wording for down the street. So I don't weasel word anything. If you take my test, I ask you the question, and you say, oh, that's the answer, and I even let you look it up on your assignment. So that way, if you haven't done the assignment, it gives you a chance to do it. Got that? So there's no trick questions in here. In fact, most of the trick questions come from you to me rather than the other way around. So that's the if ladder. And we'll actually see that used in different places. But you should be familiar with the syntax, and you should read about it. Don't just take my word for it. Go out and read about it and see what the details are. See what the fine points are. There's probably more to it than what I've said. The basic syntax is if, condition in parentheses, open brace, close brace. Else if is exactly repeating the syntax, else, and that exactly repeats the syntax, but the else leaves off the condition. Got it? Ready for the next one? Okay. This Noel was that operator called. Who knows what that operator is called? That was called the ha operator. See, you're going to probably say condition operator. That's the ha operator. You're supposed to have remembered that. My former students are differentiated in all of programming them by knowing that that's the ha operator. I know it's been a few years, but... Yeah, what this is actually an if statement. It's an if-else. It's exactly the same as like a spreadsheet with the comma, comma. In Java, if you know this from C or C++, in Java it's slightly different. In Java, you also have to have an assignment. And here's the way it works. In here goes any condition that ends in a Boolean. Same as the if parentheses.
So, like, A greater than B. Here is what to do if it's true. Here is what to do if it's false. This can be any Java expression. Either one of those can be, including a method call or anything you want. The result of those has to be the same data type as that. And what this does is it says assign to C, if A is greater than B, assign the value of C. Otherwise, the value of D. This is just an if-else, right? If that's true, E equals C, else E equals D. That's all that's going on. You can nest those. Please don't. That is, you can have a ha operator, and then in here you could have another ha operation, and then here you could have another one. But don't give it to me to correct. Okay? So this is when I said there's only one kind of decision, this is the other one. Okay? And you'll see that in code sometimes. In fact, you'll even see it in my code sometimes. Okay. Enough on if. Let's loop. In Java, there are three looping mechanisms, and the looping mechanism is simply a way of repeating some steps over and over and over. What steps are you going to repeat? You're going to repeat drawing an asterisk. If I type in the number 3, I'm going to draw 3 asterisks across, and I'm going to do that 3 times. So that's going to be a nested loop of some kind. There are 2 basic forms of loops. The for loop, which you use when you know how many times you want to do something, and the while and do while loops when you don't know how many times you want to do something. Yeah?
When you say know how many times you want to do it, is that...
I mean, like I entered the number 3, so I know I'm going to do it 3 times.
Before or after they have entered it?
Well, it's going to have to be after. Before they enter it, you might want to use a while. Right? Because you don't know. So if you ask yourself as a programmer, do I know or not know how many times to do this at this point? If you answer yourself honestly, I do know, then it's a for loop. If you answer, I don't know, it's a while loop. You gonna make it? Me too. But my legs are getting tired. That looks pretty familiar, doesn't it? So far, it's exactly the same syntax as an if. But the for loop is going to change a little bit. We get 2 more semicolons. The condition, which has the same rules as the if, it's a Boolean expression of some kind, goes in between these semicolons. To the left goes an initial condition, something to do before the loop starts, step 1. To the right goes something to do when the loop is finished, step 4. The test is step 2. If step 2 is true, then you'll do step 3. And you'll go back up and you'll test. So, step 1 is only done once, period, for a loop. Step 2 is done every pass through the loop until it's false. When it's false, the loop is finished. So you repeat the loop until this condition is false. If it starts off false, the loop is over. If you run a program and you have a loop that's supposed to go a million times and it gets done really fast, that's a clue that your condition failed. right? Step three is the executable statement. Step four is what to do after. So I'm going to just give you an example of that, what to do here. Let's say I wanted to print an asterisk. I could also have used single quotes here, and we'll learn about the difference between single quotes and double quotes. Either one will work in this case. I just use double quotes out of habit. Okay, so this prints an asterisk. So if I wanted to, let's say I entered a number into a variable called value, like we did in the program here. Then what I can say is I can say this variable is a loop counter and it's of type integer, int. And I'm going to assign it to the number I input from the keyboard. Step one, I never do that again. For obvious reasons, if you went through the loop and reset it each time, what would happen? You'd never finish the loop. Oh, I'm lying to you.
You could do it that way.
I could do it that way and decrement it. You're right. Thank you. I should, if I was that kind of guy, I would change it, but I'm not that kind of guy. Yes, if I was quick on my feet, I would decrement it and say, yes. So I could have said I equals value I greater than 0. This is step two. This is the test. This is the Boolean condition. And that's step four. That's what I do at the end of each loop. This is what I do. This is step three. So I do step one once. I test, have I done value many times? Let's say it's 3. No. That means that's still less than value. Print an asterisk. Add 1 to I. Ah. For you non-C programmers, the plus plus. Minus, minus. Couple of, yes. I don't know. I don't know. Because I haven't put it next to a variable yet. Those are 4 different combinations. Pre-increment, pre-decrement, post-increment, post-decrement. All of these evaluate to exactly the same thing. The difference is, if the plus plus is before the variable, you add 1 and then use it for whatever is the next operation. If it's after the variable, you use it and then add 1. Okay? Does that make sense? So if I printed out plus plus v and v started at 1, I would get the value 2. Now if I printed it out again, I would get the value 2 again, but V would become 3 after I used it, and so on. Got it? If you don't, you will get it. The nice thing is, if you use it like this by itself, it doesn't make any difference. You can, either way, it comes exactly the same. so much for the for loop. We'll get back to it. Oh, yes.
Is it semicolons or colons?
Those are semicolons. You'd find out fast enough if you use the compiler and you put colon. Right? Six. We'll do the while loop. We can get the same result. Oh, let's not lose the curly brace. That's the blocking mechanism. Once again, works exactly the same as the scope operator. This has got a scope all its own, which means I can use the variable I in for loop after for loop after for loop, because each one, the scope of that I is just for the for loop. Yes, sir?
What's that mean? I equals like non-zero?
Yeah, that's a zero.
Yeah, that's a zero?
Yeah, it's a Norwegian zero. Starts off at zero, goes up to one less than value, and then quits. Does the Norwegian go the other way?
I think so. And that's an O, I think.
When it's in, like, krona. Yeah. While loop is exactly the same again. See, it's just the same as the if. A condition goes in here. While that condition is true, you do that statement, or as many statements as you have to do. When that's false, you quit. If it's false to begin with, you're done before you start. Okay? That's too easy, right? How would I say this and this? What's another way to say it? Maybe. Try it. What's that? He says it works. You have a compiler in your head, right? You used to. You still have one, right? Good guy to sit next to if you need to have a test code. Isn't that true? I think so. Used to be true.
That's a legal thing, though.
What?
An abstinence.
Looks okay to me. There's a space. There's space there, and a space there, and no space there. Like, you know how you like to put spaces between things? You get all excited, and you think it's more readable. If you put a space between those two parts of the operator, it doesn't work anymore, and so on. Okay. What's a potential problem with this? What if I start off with a negative number? Oh, nothing happens. A lot of things happen. It keeps going until it gets positive and comes back around, so you better hope the value is a short integer or a byte. Otherwise, you're going to do 4 billion things before you get back to home. Or worse, because it could be an 8-bit long integer or something. 8-byte. Good grief. Okay, so that's a while loop. Okay, there's one more possibility. And that's this. is one or more statements. Those are the scope operators. This says do these statements and then test the conditions. So the difference between this and the other one, these are done at least once. The other one is maybe not done at all. This test isn't performed until after these statements are executed. So let me ask you guys a question. How could I use what you know about loops to do assignment 2 without doing an if? Let's say you just want to do whiles and fors and you don't want to do any ifs. Well, I can do nested fors to get my asterisk. In fact, you'll be doing that, or nested whiles. Yes, sir. To do that. And then what you're saying, how are we going to get that new line in there? Well, let me tell you that you can also do system.out.print, and that's just like Pascal. It doesn't put a new line in. So in one loop, you'll do print, 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 and then the other loop, you'll do print line, print line, print line, print line. Right? Print, 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 print line, print, 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 print. Well, let me run this by you. That's the blah, blah, blah. I want to do it at least once. I want to get the number at least once. If I haven't got it, I don't have anything to test. What do you mean I don't want them to do anything? Here's what I want them to do if it's a 6. You want me to tell you what I want them to do if it's a 6 or a minus 123? I'll tell you what I'm going to want them to do. I'm going to want them to type it in again. Don't you think? That's fair. If they don't get it right the first time, I give them a second chance. Here's what's going to happen is you guys are going to do this code, and you're going to test it once, and if they don't enter it right, you're going to have the program quit. Then you have to run it again. Well, you don't want to do that, right? Because you're the person who has to get the number in there. Now, you can put logic in here, like you can put a counter. Some people actually did this in the past. They put a counter in here where, let's say, you get up to 5 misses, then it prints out like a rude message, and then resets the counter, and they get to start over. Some people even did it where they had a really rude message after 10 and a hyper-rude message after 15 and so on. I mean, if you can't get it right after 15 tries, maybe you should quit. Yeah, but in any case, this is the kind of thing you can do right at the top of your code. Just keep asking until they get it right. But you better be careful what logic you put in here. See, I just put the start of it. Because if you get this logic wrong, you could find yourself in an infinite loop. If you're in an infinite loop, how do you get out of it? Control, Alt, Delete. Well, that's hard. Now pour water in the back of the computer, unplug it. If you're in JBuilder, Control C does well. Control C, that ends execution. So if you get yourself into a loop or something, Control C will get you out. Control Alt, Delete also works.
and the plug thing. That's called the Don Young reset, if you pull the plug. Any questions on these? How to use them? How you're going to use them in assignment 2, which you're all going to get a chance to do now? Now, here's what I'm doing as far as the, what have I left off tonight? Anything? A lot of stuff, but we'll cover it tomorrow. We have lots of time still. I have passed out 6 J-Builder 3 CDs, and tomorrow night they're supposed to come back as 12. So be patient. The night after that they should come back as 24. So then we'll all be covered by the third night. In the meantime, we have a computer center upstairs. We have an hour to use it. Use it wisely. I will be up to help you. Once again, the goal is to get assignment 2 done. Give it to me with your name on it. And don't darken my door till tomorrow. You want to go upstairs and learn how to use it, right?
Or
I'll give you a training session.